Sometimes I give you a warning before a story if there's going to be swearing or if the content isn't suitable for young children or otherwise it's likely to be insulting or confronting or upsetting. Well, the woman you're about to meet has upset a lot of people, mostly other women. Megan Basham is the author of Beside Every Successful Man, A Woman's Guide to Having It All, a book that's caused some vehement reactions from feminists around the world during 2009. In it, she argues there's a growing trend among women to reject the pressures of full-time work in favour of child-rearing, and perhaps most controversially, to work on supporting their husband's career. We began by talking about her aims in writing the book.
Well, you know, it's funny that it got such a very strong reaction from some corners because I really intended something fairly simple. I intended to show women who, particularly my age group in their late 20s to 30s, how to help their husbands do better in their careers so that they would have more financial flexibility and more financial freedom to pursue the things that were more important to them, typically spending more time at home to take care of their children. So that was really the purpose of the book. And then when I started doing a lot of research, I saw on a large scale a lot of economic data that supported the idea. And in doing interviews, I saw a lot of anecdotal data that supported the idea. So that was really all I set out to do, was to show women who wanted that, not to tell all women that they should do this, but to tell women who wanted to spend more time at home, give them an option to do so.
What do you know about the number of women who want to do this?
Well, you know, I don't know specific Australian data, but I can tell you, for example, in the United States, in the UK, it's been around 80% of women who are mothers, not single women, but 80% of mothers say they prefer either part-time or to stay home full-time. Only about 20% of moms with children under the age of 18 say they prefer full-time work.
I'm wondering if what the evidence is, though, that women are prepared to stay home and work to improve their husband's career.
Well, as far as, you know, the evidence that they're prepared to stay home is they say they want to. It's kind of one of those things where I feel like it's a bigger bit of news to the media than it is to women at home on the streets. When you talk to regular women, they kind of say, well, no kidding, of course I wish I could work less. But you say it to someone in New York or maybe Sydney or in any of these media outlets, and it comes as a surprise to them. And so that's, you know, the biggest piece of evidence is that when you poll women, they say so. As far as wanting them to support their husbands' careers, that was just something that I saw in my own personal experience and in a lot of other interviews that I did and in looking at the economic data showing that these wives were having a tremendous impact on their husbands' career success and on their income. Basically, it's something called the marriage premium, and any economist could explain it to you, and it shows that all of the things being equal, a married man will make anywhere from 20 to 50% more than a single man with the same credentials, same job, same experience. Basically, they attribute this to the wife because the more hours a wife works, the smaller that marriage premium, that advantage becomes.
This is real, is it? 20 to 50%, that sounds huge.
It's a big number, and it was a little bit shocking. You know, when I first came up with the idea for the book, I hadn't really started looking at the large economic data yet, so I was a little shocked when I saw it. And not only that, but that they could parse it down and show that, you know, typically women who were working 40-plus hours a week, their husbands weren't seeing very much of a premium, maybe something in the range of 5 to 10%. Men with stay-at-home wives were seeing more like 40%.
So essentially you're saying there's an economic argument for doing this. If you want to stay home more, you don't want to work as much as a woman, and you're married to a man, that actually by doing that, you can help him earn more so that the household is better off.
Correct. And I think that that's, you know, the key way of looking at it is you're just looking at different roles. Part of the problem I've seen with some of the reaction, and we'll probably get into this in a minute, but has been this concept that if you're not earning, you're doing something less valuable. Whereas the couples I spoke to really looked at their efforts, you know, both the person who was earning the money and the person who was taking care of the home, raising the children, acting as a support system for that career, really looked at themselves as teams.
All right. So you use a series of case studies. How did you decide which women to speak to when you were doing the research?
I just started talking to a lot of women. I asked people if they had contacts, if they had suggestions. I read a lot of times when I read news stories, for example, I used Chris Matthews. He's an American television news host who's a pretty successful guy here on MSNBC. He hosts a show called Hardball, and I had read an interview with him talking about the contributions his wife had made to his career. So I just contacted her, and you know, I did a lot of the interviews based on that, where I heard these men speaking about their wives and speaking about them, you know, in glowing terms, in very specific terms, saying how they wouldn't be where they are without their wives. And I thought, well, how come nobody ever talks to these women then?
So does this mean that this works better for women who are married to someone who's already earning a relatively high salary?
No, I wouldn't say that's the case at all. I can use my own personal experience. You know, my husband was doing a job he really didn't like, and we started totally over from square one, and he actually went back into the broadcasting news business himself, and that was something we went into together. But I mean, he started ground floor internship was where we began.
He wasn't having a male marriage premium at that point.
No, he wasn't.
The reason I asked you if it was more about couples where the man's already earning a lot of money is I suppose my own anecdotal experience. And of the women I know who don't work at all, don't work part-time, certainly don't work full-time, they are all married to men who are all essentially senior executives or doing very well in business for themselves. So there's no shortage of money in the house.
Right. Well, and you know, one of the things I've talked about is there was sort of this impression, like I'm telling wives who are in these marriages where, you know, both incomes are really needed, that you're just going to haul off and quit without some kind of a plan in place. Now, obviously, that would be financially irresponsible, and that is not what the book is about. It's about putting a plan in place and working towards a goal. It's not about immediately saying, you need to bring in all the income in this household and I quit. And obviously, you know, I work part-time and I really enjoy it, and I don't think I would ever give that up. And I think a lot of women feel that way, that they would like to do something that they enjoy part-time.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Megan Basham, who's a writer and commentator. We're talking about her book, Beside Every Successful Man, A Woman's Guide to Having It All. I noticed, Megan, that you chose to say beside rather than behind. You know, the old cliche is behind every successful man. And you talk about the partnership of marriage and famous examples. I suppose Michelle Obama is the one that everybody's going to know about.
Yeah, you know, that one kind of came as a little gift to me, because that wasn't, they were just, you know, barely on the scene when I started writing the book. And then, of course, now they're such a fantastic example of that kind of relationship. I mean, certainly she is somebody who has stepped down in her career during this time to support her husband's ambitions, and you can see that it's worked out really well for them. And I don't think anybody could say that it's not very clear what contribution she has made to his success.
The thing is that I've been thinking about as we've been talking, and of course Michelle and Barack Obama famously seem to have a very good marriage, but I mean, the marriage statistics are pretty horrible in your country, they're pretty horrible here. Where does this leave a woman who gives up her career, partly because she wants to stay home, but works to ensure the success of her husband's career, and then their relationship falls over?
That has been probably the thorniest question that I actually do feel is a legitimate challenge, that I go, that is a concern. One of the things I spent a little bit of time on was looking at some of those, you know, divorce numbers and seeing that typically when you see that partnership that you, for example, see with the Obamas, when you see them working as a team towards those goals together, those are couples that are less likely to divorce. Secondly, you know, that has come from a lot of the feminist side of this argument when the book came out here. And part of what was upsetting to me is I go, these are the same women who supported no-fault divorce laws. So, you know, part of my argument is I do think that women need to be involved in their family finances. I think that they need to be a part of the financial planning and make sure that they have adequate protection. Some of the women I interviewed said, you know what, we drew up post-nuptial agreements when I decided to step out of my career and stay home full-time so that my contribution would be recognized financially if something were to happen.
So they're protected in law?
Correct.
We are definitely now onto the fact that it has been a controversial book. It's been described as brave. I've read that a few times. I mean, do you think that it is difficult in what you might call a post-feminist society for women to talk about wanting to be a wife and mother and not wanting to focus so much on their career?
Well, it's frustrating because you feel like you can't talk about it at all in terms of women doing anything other than having full-time careers, or you're shouted down as somebody who's anti-woman, who is anti-feminist. And to me, it's so difficult because I go, if 80% of mothers are saying they want this, then the only conclusion I can come to is you're suggesting that women don't know what's good for them. Because the bottom line is most mothers don't want to work full-time. And so it seems so counterproductive to me to say we can't talk about what women really want. It's completely politically incorrect and it's off the table to talk about what women are saying at home, what they're saying to each other over their kitchen tables that they want.
I suppose the concern that people who identify as feminists have is, you know, 40 years of jumping up and down and struggle to get where they are now, and this kind of puts it all over in a corner.
Well, I would respond to that and say, all of that work, shouldn't we have some benefit from that? I mean, we've made a lot of progress, and I think part of the benefit of all of that progress is now being able to have choices and not having to be ashamed of some of those choices. I mean, I think that obviously, you know, women, I want us all to have absolutely equal opportunities. I think every woman who wants to work full-time and go to the highest level she can should certainly have that opportunity without any glass ceiling being applied to her. But at the same time, I don't think most women want that, and I think it's okay to acknowledge that most women don't want that.
Megan, we've mentioned the controversy. What about positive feedback? I mean, the book's been out in America a wee while now. Have you had people get in touch with you, women or men, who say, look, you've struck a chord?
I have. I've had some really wonderful letters. I get them, you know, a lot of times through my website. I've had women who say, you know, you said the thing that I've been thinking all this time, and it's opened up a conversation between my husband and I, and, you know, I felt ashamed to bring it up, but now that we're talking about it, you know, I really think this is something we can do. And I've had a lot of letters from women who've told me, you know, that they see a solution now, because, you know, typically it's this sort of left-right conservative-liberal argument here, and the conservatives say, well, then you should just budget and never work. And liberals, you know, obviously you should have a full-time career. And there was just I felt no voice of sanity in the middle. And so I've had a lot of letters from people saying, it sounds like somebody's finally being reasonable about this issue.
That was Megan Basham, author of Beside Every Successful Man, A Woman's Guide to Having It All.